Friday. Today is October the 4th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, it's that time of year when in some places the leaves are starting to change. Some people like to travel around and see the different fall colors. We're going to share details of a great website you can go to track that. Also talk about some garden cleanup and the importance of honeybees. We'll have all the details on that and more coming up after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I want to start off this Friday morning as we take a look out in the backyard and garden and let you know if you go to the Ohio Department of Natural Resources Division of Forestry website or just Google that or go to their Facebook page, they have a fall color forecast map that is up. And so you can see around the state of Ohio how the fall tree colors are progressing. Now, obviously, things are maybe starting to change around the state right now. A lot of that is due to the dry weather rather than what we may normally think of as far as leaves changing. But the days are getting shorter, and the season is coming to that point where we're going to start to see more and more change going on that's a noticeable change, something that we would expect to see some of those brilliant colors. So something you may want to follow on a regular basis as you go through the next couple weeks. Again, either follow their Facebook page or check out their website, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources Division of Forestry. We also want to talk about those flower beds and landscaping things. Now, we've recently received plenty of moisture, actually, to help start turning things around. But the reality is a lot of those annual flowers that died out because it was so dry, if we didn't keep the flower beds watered and a lot of the others, are at that point now where they are either done blooming or they got stressed to where they stopped. A lot of those can be torn out now. It's really the time, if we want, we can start cleaning up those flower beds, cleaning up the vegetable gardens. If the foliage did not have a lot of disease on it, that works great in compost piles. It adds that green nitrogen as you put in some of the brown leaves and other things later on in the fall to really make that a good mix that decomposes and creates that rich, fertile organic matter you can add back to your gardens or soils later in the fall. So a good time to clean those up while we still have decent weather out there. Get that in the compost pile. If it is diseased, again, that can be discarded. You don't want to just leave it lay in the garden or flower bed because that disease can overwinter on that plant residue and then come back and cause more problems next year. So if that's the case, you may want to actually till that in, incorporate it. That will help break that plant material down, and that will destroy the disease then, rather than if you just leave it on top and it overwinters and then the spores can infect new plants. The same as we go through with other landscape type plants, a lot of our trees and stuff, while we have recently got some precipitation in the last week, still not a bad time in the fall to make sure we keep watering those and just give them the reserves that they need, because they did go through so much stress for about the last month or 2 months without a lot of water. Even though leaves are starting to turn, fall off in some cases, you can still water them to help that root system continue to survive. And as we said in the past shows, any month that ends in an R is a good month to plant a shrub or a tree. So September, October, November, obviously good months to do that as well. All sorts of things you can be doing out in the backyard and garden. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now and talk about insects, beneficial insects, as one way to reduce the very large yearly losses of honeybee colonies is to make a stronger, better bee. USDA's Gary Crawford is going to tell us about work being done in the breeding of bees.
Well, I knew honeybees could buzz. I did not know they could sing. Well, sort of sing.
Hey, I'm a honeybee. Take a look and see how I'm giving it up for the hive. It's just an effort to keep it strong and alive.
However, those bees and their keepers have been having quite a bit of trouble keeping the colonies strong and alive. You may remember the news headlines that started about 15, 16 years ago, headlines about millions of bee colonies dying off, or in some cases, the bees just disappearing, with the nation's beekeepers losing 30 to 50% of their colonies every year. There was a lot of buzz about it for a few years. You don't see much about that in the news these days.
but there's still an emergency in place.
No one knows that better than Chris Hyatt, North Dakota beekeeper, president of the American Honey Producers Association.
Last winter for us was very bad, probably worst 20 years, approaching like 55% loss.
Back in the 1980s, a 10% loss per year was normal, easily managed. So even though honeybee losses are not making headlines like they once did, scientists continue to work on the puzzle of why bees are not as able as they used to be to withstand things like parasites, viruses, and weather extremes.
We're kind of taking a multifaceted approach to try to solve their problems and make healthier bees.
That's Lainey Bilodeau, research leader at the Agriculture Department's Bee Laboratory in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, one of a half dozen USDA Ag Research Service bee labs. We talked with her at a pollinator event here in Washington, D.C. Now, scientists think there are many reasons for increasing bee losses. One big one, climate change.
We know that that's affecting them because it's affecting when flowers are blooming. Because they're flowering too early or they're flowering too late, and it doesn't match when the bees need that energy. So we're trying to come up with alternative forage that farmers can plant, that beekeepers can plant, that will help sort of compensate for that difference.
Lainey says another problem that beekeepers have had to deal with for a long time is the varroa mite. It's a tiny parasite of bees that literally sucks the energy out of them. And even if the bee is strong,
it's a tough battle for them to fight. And so our lab is breeding bees that are resistant to the mite.
And there are breeding programs at other labs as well to make bees not only more able to survive changing climates, diseases, and parasites,
but also to make lots of honey and build up quickly and overwinter well and have all of the favorable characteristics that we want a good commercial bee.
Meanwhile, honey bee losses continue to be high. Lainey, when will we be able to reduce those losses?
Over time. I can't predict what that time scale is, but I think they're going to come down. We're trying.
Trying, as the bees say, to help the hive and
keep it strong and alive.
That's right. This is Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.